Now to a little bit of ancient history. There is a classic scene in the Monty Python film The Life of Brian, where activist John Cleese asks his followers, "What have the Romans ever done for us?" And their answer?
The aqueduct.
What?
The aqueduct.
Oh, yeah, they did give us that. That's true, yeah.
And the sanitation.
Oh, yeah, the sanitation, Reg. Remember what the city used to be like?
Yeah, all right, I'll grant you, the aqueduct and sanitation are two things the Romans have done.
And the roads.
Well, yeah, obviously the roads. I mean, the roads go without sand, don't they? But apart from the sanitation, the aqueduct and the roads...
Irrigation.
Medicine.
Yeah.
Education.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
And the wine.
Yeah. And it's safe to walk in the streets at night now, Reg.
Yeah, they certainly know how to keep order.
All right, but apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system and public health, what have the Romans ever done for us?
That film is decades old, but if you ask the question now, there are still so many people wanting to answer it, to the point that they dress up and live the life. Michael McKenzie swapped his shoes for sandals and went to investigate.
We study the ancient world. The Romans are so important to culture, to our understanding of history, etc. Occasionally, it's good to remember that they were real people and life was very different 2,000 years ago. So by actually immersing people in Roman culture like this and meeting some wonderful Roman soldiers and eating some wonderful Roman sausages, just for a day we can all pretend we're Romans, and then tomorrow we can get back to the 21st century and be grateful that we live in 2,000 years later when life is so much easier.
I'm new to this. I've only been here for a little while. I'm currently the slave for today, helping out with bits and bobs.
You're the happiest looking slave I've ever seen.
You know, I do get the beating stick occasionally. I'm trying to be a better slave.
Do you mind me asking how old you are?
I am 17, 18 this year, so not that old, but not the youngest member actually.
I'm on site with the ARRV, the Ancient Roman Reenactors of Victoria, and I express surprise that someone so young would want to do something like this.
Well, I think part of it was my father. My father is one of the senators here, so I came down to one of the meetings and it was too much fun. I had to join.
So you're following in your father's footsteps. You may one day be a senator.
I think I'd prefer to stay in the military, but who knows? Could eventually end up in a senatorial position. Hopefully I won't get stabbed.
On the steps?
Yeah, exactly.
During the Ides of March?
Now
you're talking.
Too soon.
Too soon.
My name is Tim Park and I'm Professor of Classics here at the University of Melbourne, and this is my companion, Dr. Matt Schmidt.
Hello, Max.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. You're dressed very finely.
In a Roman toga, trying to look the part for the day.
And was the toga always part of Roman formal wear?
It certainly was, and there was a variety of different togas, obviously worn for different events, but it's essentially the business suit of the day. So if you were going to conduct public business and you were a male Roman citizen, you would wear a toga.
And you're wearing on your head something that marks you as of nobility, I would have thought.
Well, that was one of the nice reenactors here decided to bring me a gold crown to wear for the day, which, of course, is probably more likely than anything else going to get me stabbed.
Max thinks he's become an emperor. He doesn't have a purple stripe on his toga, so in fact, I think he's a bit of a pretender to the throne. But, you know, Romans
all the more
like
reason
that.
To get stabbed.
Absolutely.
Probably
yeah.
In the back.
It's going to be a colourful day today.
Excuse me, soldier, can I speak to you while you're standing guard?
Of course.
Tell me, how did you get into Roman soldiers and reenacting their life?
Well, I lecture in history at Federation University, and I use armour and object-based learning through all sorts of classes. So I've been reenacting various different periods in history since I was 12 years old.
Really?
Yeah. So I do Viking and medieval and ancients and you name it. So I sort of find like-minded people through joining groups who do similar things, yeah.
Are there similar patterns of background amongst the people who want to be reenactors?
I wouldn't say so, no. And that's one of the beautiful things about reenactment is that it attracts people from all different sort of walks of life and different backgrounds who all bring their own unique skill sets and worldviews to the craft.
If you hadn't started reenacting at the age of 12, do you think you would have ended up being a teacher of history?
It's hard to say. Possibly. I think it's kind of a chicken and egg scenario there. Because I've always been reenacting, it sort of got me into the history sort of industry. But then through my work, I find excuses to buy more reenactment gear. Yeah.
How much gear do you have?
A very large shed full, yeah.
From how many different ages of humankind?
It's hard to say, but my collection starts at, you know, the ancient Greek times and goes through to the sort of 19th and 20th century. So,
and do you favour military gear?
No, not at all. I find military gear is, in terms of reenactment groups, it's a sort of segue into other parts of life. You know, everybody wants to see the soldier, everybody wants to see the gun, but, you know, there's the more interesting thing about history is about social movements and changes of ideas that take place throughout history. So reenactment, I think, is a good way to sort of segue into those.
We'll come back to the soldier later because he has so many tips on how to get tunics just right. But now I'm heading over to the Roman shop, where there's enormous interest in authentic knickknacks that have been made the Roman way.
We've even got frankincense and myrrh.
But no gold.
No gold. But we have things here like this bracelet made out of the three basic metals. There's brass and there's bronze.
Have you made some of these yourself?
A lot of what you see we make ourselves, especially if it's leather, wood, and particularly the mail.
The chain mail.
They're the chain mail. We call it Lorica Hamata. It takes about 350 hours to assemble it into this. So that's a couple of hours at night when you're watching TV and you do it for a few months and you make a square, you make another square, and then 30 minutes later you got five squares and then you join them together. And before you know it, you've got yourself a male shirt that weighs about 9 kilos that will last hundreds of years.
A lot of people seem to forget that even though the Romans were around 2,000 years ago, they were people just like you or I are, and they would have thought in very much the same way that we do nowadays. And I think that's an important thing to remember too, not thinking of the Romans as somehow simplistic because they were around so much longer ago.
Have you been part of the reenactment group for a while?
Not very long. I've been wanting to do sort of Roman period stuff for quite a while, and then I saw these guys up in Sydney and I'm thinking, oh, when I get back to Victoria I must hunt down the local Roman groups there, and I did, and I'm very happy that I did, and they're just lovely people.
The way you were talking, it sounds like you've done other reenactments in other ages, have you?
Yeah, I've been for a few years now. My husband and I, we do a lot of medieval period as well. We also go to schools and bring all that stuff into the schools. We've got a regular business that does that, and we do ancient stuff with them too, and the year eights we do the medieval period obviously, and then we do stuff on the side too. My husband's on sort of pirate stuff.
So you bring history to life?
Well, yeah.
That's kind of your living.
Well, yeah, we don't have to try very hard because we want history to be alive for us, I guess. I mean, you can read it in the books, you can study as much as you want, but there's nothing next to immersing yourself in it. And I guess when you can sort of, you know, get over that sort of like, okay, I'm in a costume, you know, and I'm not a freak anymore, you know, as long as you can get over that, it is quite an amazing way to actually experience history. And in fact, you know, 24 hours living in nothing but the clothing.
And do you find that young people really respond?
Oh yes, definitely. When my husband and I do it for schools, you know, we're getting a bit old now and it's a lot of work, but you know, it's so rewarding. That reaction that we get from the students is just like magic, you know, and it's different every time, and you can see their eyes, you know, they're just lapping it up with the physical, the immersive, the, you know, and that's what I'm doing here with the smells and
people are actually leaning over and smelling scents right now.
Yes, yes. And some of them are really quite heady.
And these also would have been available in Roman times.
Oh yes. We've got eyeshadow powders there, azurite and malachite, which form together and you get that beautiful, you know, intense mint green there, and that beautiful blue, which sometimes is used for paint pigments as well. Mm-hmm. Got red clay there, which I wouldn't advise as a blush. It's pretty intense when it goes on. If you do want blush, we just use what they use for lips, which is what I got in the shells there.
What's that?
Basically, it's a combination of beeswax, olive oil, and sometimes I'll add a bit of extra little fat or shea butter. I use ghee to sometimes make the lamp black. Mm. Basically, just hold that over a lamp, and I've got an oil lamp there, and you'll just hold the bowl over it. 30 minutes, you'll capture the black soot from it. So I'm just burning off ghee to get that.
And what do you use that black for?
Eyeliner. Got to have the look. So they were using either a form of that or galena, which is that glittery little stone, if you can see that there, that little black glittery stone.
Yes.
And it's got lead. You know,
so it's for observation purposes.
The stone, yes. Yeah.
So this is like a 2,000-year-old makeup department.
It is, and it's like cooking, because it's most of the ingredients that go into making the lip balms, the lips colours, the tints, the creams, the ones that moisturises. If you live in the Roman era, of course, this will all slide off your face pretty quickly.
Having made a mental note to avoid the lead-based eyeliner, I sidle over to the Roman eatery for something that's been 2,000 years in the making.
Hey.
Would you like one?
I would. Is this made to a Roman recipe?
It is indeed. There's the Roman recipe there.
Pork, lard, pine nuts, black pepper. This is sounding great. Garum, which is Roman fish sauce, salt, cumin, bay leaves, fresh herbs and parsley. And that's a Roman sausage.
It is indeed. And it's a recipe that has been researched and we've found it and we've recreated it as traditionally as we could.
And the bread you put it in is also of Roman origin.
Yes, it is. So the bread is based on a recipe from the British Museum, based on a loaf of bread that they found in Pompeii.
Encased in lava?
It was charred, to say the least. So we have a baker and we have a butcher that make these for us for our events.
Fantastic.
But our group, Ancient Roman Reenactors Victoria, we've been going for 2 years and our membership's up at 26.
How many do you need for a phalanx?
Well, we don't do phalanxes.
Oh, really?
No, that's the Greeks, and we have cohorts and we have centuries and we have legions. So we need 5,000 for a legion. 80 for a century, believe it or not, 100.
80 for a century?
80 for a century. But our club is actually 26 strong. So you had Phil who was here doing the food, and Phil's got an interest in the food aspect of it. And we've got Gina over there in the merchant's tent who's got the wigs and she's interested. So engineering, and you've seen Mike there, and he's array of engineering equipment. So, I mean, our club tries to be as diverse and appeal so that it's not one-dimensional with regards to only legionaries or that sort of stuff. So, you know, there's something for everybody. You don't have to be just interested in the military aspect.
Well, look, I'm going to try that sausage now. I can't wait. Okay, thanks very much.
No worries.
Cheers.
Yeah, I'm just looking for my boss, the Centurion. But he's over there playing with his siege weapons. Best let him do what he wants to do. He's our boss. We've got to do as he says.
So I'm wearing about 15 kilos worth of equipment right now. So, and that's a combination of linen and wool and steel and brass and bronze and wood as well. So I'm used to it, but it is heavy, and I wouldn't go as far as to say that it was comfortable. The Caligae, the boots that I'm wearing, have nails on the soles of them, so it can be very difficult to walk on tiles or concrete or, you know, anything smooth.
What you're wearing today, the armour and the tunic, that's all been custom fitted to you?
Yeah, the tunic I made myself, and the shield I've made and painted, but the actual armour that I'm wearing today I purchased online, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exciting. Well, look, go forth and do battle and do well. And have you told your history students to come along today?
Of course.
Are they all here?
Yes.
Have they taken numerous photos of you?
Of course.
Well, all hail to you.
Thank you very much.
As Paul the soldier joins his battle-weary colleagues, I have to ask one more time, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Cicero said, if you forget your history, then you're always like a child. You never know where you've come from, etc. So a day like this just reminds us of how rich our culture is, how multifarious it is, the many influences on us.
And Tim, in your younger, wilder years, were you ever tempted to graffiti in Latin?
No comment.